Chapter 4. Beginning. His introduction lacked tact and civility, but Aizawa had never bothered with that kind of social posturing. The kid was behind already. They didn't have any time to spare on niceties. "You won't be like me," he said through his teeth, one hand rising reflexively to dig into the capture weapon wrapped around his shoulders. "I'm gonna beat the shit out of you because that's what it's gonna take. I'm not gonna lie to you, and I'm not gonna pity you, because no one out there will either. Is that what you want?" Shinzo Hitoshi bent, dropping into a poor excuse for a fighting stance. General studies had done nothing for him in that department. As he was, feet braced too wide, weight unanchored, fingers dramatically kung fu splayed like they were begging to be broken one by one. There were no fewer than 28 ways to bring him to his knees or incapacitate him in under 30 seconds. And that was at a glance. "Bring it on." "Your funeral," he said dully, clearly hoping it wasn't. The physical part of it would come slowly, piece by piece, mapped out in hard mistakes and harder corrections. It was the one part nobody could rush, and the kid was either going to take it or he wasn't. But in the meantime, it served well as an intimidating barrier to the entire concept of heroism. For the moment, Shinzo was keeping up. Now all they had to worry about was his quirk. "This is going to be difficult, Shinzo." "Yeah," the kid said, unbidden. He sounded sullen, but it was probably just his face, and his nagging insistence on being recognized every waking moment. Aizawa frowned and continued, trying not to bristle like he'd been interrupted. Maybe he was a little too used to teaching a horde of kids. Having one talk back to him, even in an empty classroom at lunch, was a little weird. "As a hero, you won't make it onto the fronts of magazines. You can't. Your ability requires the utmost of anonymity, even more than mine. They can't know your name and they can't know your face, which will have to be addressed by your costume." He said, mentally adding, "Should you get far enough to need a costume? Because as soon as they find out, they just won't talk, or they may not even be verbal in the first place. And then where will you be?" "On top of them and kicking the crap out of them and delivering justice," Shinzo huffed with a sliver of a grin, thumbing his nose like some kind of middle school dropout. Aizawa sighed but kept it inside his mouth, trying not to think of how closely that mirrored the explanation of heroism that he'd given Toshinori a few nights ago. He shook his head, pushing forward. "I'm gonna set you up with one of our staff, Pro Hero Present Mike. He's the voice hero, as I'm sure you know, and I think it would be a good addition to your skill set if you learn to throw your voice. It could be a handy misdirect if you're caught in a tight spot." "You're making me into a ventriloquist as part of my special hero training?" Shinzo asked hoarsely, taking no pains to hide his skepticism. "No," Aizawa thought. "I'm giving Mike something to do so he stops bugging me about karaoke." "Yes," he said instead, and pulled his phone out of his pocket. "I'm sending you his contact information now. Text him, introduce yourself, and he'll take care of you. I expect you to sit down with him within the school week, and I'm offering no kind of excuse to your regular instructors regarding your work. If you want this, you're going to have to maintain the academic expectations of the general studies course, and mine as well." "I guess," Shinzo muttered to the floor, his cheek on his fist. His eyes were stormy, tired, and something about the slobbish cross of his leg in the desk rubbed Aizawa exactly the wrong way. "Do you want to be a hero or not?" Aizawa demanded, thoroughly pricked. What was it about this kid that pissed him off with a look, a gesture? Then he stopped himself, because there were such things as stupid questions, and he really didn't want to spell it out for himself. He had signed up for this. As he stared at the top of the kid's fluffy sea anemone of a head, Shinzo looked up, sullen expression subtly hardened. Ready. More ready than him, honestly. Yes, sir, Aizawa-sensei. Then get out of here, Aizawa snapped, as he threw his phone back in his pocket and stalked off, desperate to go grade papers or water the classroom plants. Go mind control a duck or something. Throwing my voice? Aizawa hummed a yes around the paper in his mouth, ignoring his friend's quizzical tone. Shota, I know you think me a dude of infinite talents, but I don't know how to do that, Mike admitted after a moment, scratching his head as he watched his fellow teacher tangle with the multitude of open, vaguely alphabetized files scattered on the staff room table. They, a false term, were organizing the finals schematics and data according to the teams to file them with the board for final approval. Mike was supervising, which meant that he had his boots propped vaguely peripheral to where Aizawa was doing most of the work. Well, go ahead and learn, Aizawa said curtly, glaring single-mindedly at one file that kept collapsing and thwarting his efforts to stuff everything in at once. The kid needs something extra up his sleeve if he's gonna make it, and you're the only one around here with a voice quirk. I know you can learn it quickly enough, so why don't you just do it? Mike clearly opened his mouth to agree, common sense swept away by the rare sideways praise, then stopped himself mid-word. He frowned, slowly figuring out where he'd been tricked. Well, hey, I'm a busy person too. I've got a radio show and... And that's from 1 to 4 a.m. You better find a better time to train because that violates curfew. Hidden by the mountain of completed files, Aizawa smirked to himself. Digging. I thought you'd appreciate having a hand in training him. You don't have anything in the way of protégés. How will you ever pass on your ear-splitting legacy? Okay, you! Mike yowled, one finger pointed. Aizawa rose and casually secured the last of the team files with very tired rubber bands, shoving them in a pile that Mike would take care of if he knew what was good for him. Do it. He has your number, he said, absently checking his phone. Homeroom in half an hour. Enough time to catch a power nap under his desk. Gotta go. Well, goodbye, Mr. Popular, Mike snapped as his best friend strode out and shut the door behind him. Alone, he threw his hands up and then crossed them tightly over his chest. Hands tucked, foot tapping. He told himself he wasn't pouting. Busy Shota was clearly no fun at all. These days, Toshinori found himself holding his breath around Aizawa Shota. More than usual, that is. It was a curious, careful time to be sharing a class and a general schedule with the man. Aizawa was clearly preoccupied, clearly split, but Toshinori kept utterly quiet and only offered the most generic of help or inquiries, purposefully limited to their official 20 charges. Knowing the weight of what could have passed between the two in the garden, he sought proof in triplicate before even daring to engage with the concept of his fellow teacher training young Shinso. Then he saw them. Instinctively, he hid, retreating behind the nearest building in a pinwheel of limbs. Then, carefully, he peeked. In a small clearing between the gym and the Gen Studies building, Aizawa was kneeling in the grass and slapping at the boy's knees and feet as Shinso attempted to hold a defensive crouch. His gangly body was visibly jolting from every strike, and as Toshinori watched, Aizawa manually repositioned him, speaking lowly and giving the boy another firm shake. The crouch held, and, briefly, a lopsided grin chased across Shinso's round face, dropping instantly when his instructor glared up at him with another comment. A nod. They continued, and Toshinori took the long way around the Gen Studies building to avoid disturbing them, smiling and drumming his fingers thoughtfully on his leg. Whether those dark eyes were on him or not, it was incredible to see Aizawa so focused. It made it a little hard to breathe, but in a pleasant way, like anticipation, hope. And as Toshinori's anticipation rose, so did his curiosity about the hero behind the teacher, who so deftly corrected the boy's posture, and the nature of Aizawa's work when he was a dedicated hero. Eraserhead, the underground erasure hero. Terror of the night, according to the internet. They also called him the wrap-up hero, or less gracious variations, but not solely due to his curious capture weapon. Why? Because when you saw him, your night was officially, expletive, over. Toshinori should have known better than to do his snooping on school grounds, but his old laptop was the worst at streaming videos, and he had only a vague idea of what streaming actually was, so he set up shop in the computer lab. The older hero was, at least, smart enough to choose a monitor facing away from the door, which gave him a split second of buffering time when he was inevitably discovered by the very man he was technically researching. What are you doing? The deep voice sent a chill down his spine, and he instantly panicked. He wasn't any good at sneaking, and never had been. He was usually too big to even try. Toshinori's long fingers spasmed across the keyboard, and nearly crunched the mouse in two as he hurriedly pressed pause and closed every available window. Hmm? He looked up, eyes wide, and pretended like he hadn't just knocked over the computer mouse into his lap. He suspended it between his wobbly knees, supremely casual. What? Nothing. Hmm? What? For a moment, it looked like Aizawa was going to ask him if he were watching pornography. Then the homeroom teacher just narrowed his eyes and left. Toshinori breathed out. Carefully. It was all a strategy. Later that day, Aizawa laid in wait, ensconced in his sleeping bag under the table. The moment Toshinori dared to think himself safe and turned up the sound to a cell phone video someone had uploaded to a lesser-known hero talk board, a bundle of angry, puffy yellow popped over the older man's shoulder. What are you doing? Long body snapping straight in his chair, Toshinori nearly passed out with one hand wrenched into his shirt, over his heart. For a moment, he just stared at the ceiling, sweating profusely. Next to him, Aizawa was glaring fixedly at his computer screen. Why are you watching this? Aizawa demanded in low tones, somehow simultaneously bored and suspicious and betrayed. Oh! Toshinori took a deep breath and held it, less out of a need for oxygenation than a particular move, captured by the shaky cell phone camera, as the dark figure of Eraserhead vaulted over an alleyway and rode down the length of a lamppost with his capture weapon twisted in a clever sliding knot, showcasing the power in his arms and torso. Because, look at you. You're amazing. Turn that off, he said flatly. When Toshinori did not, Aizawa leaned over, out of his sleeping bag, and reached for the mouse. The older hero caught his wrists, locking them in a suddenly intimate tangle. In what Toshinori had to admit was a small bit of power play, he didn't let him go immediately. I'm admiring a colleague, he said, as close to his pale neck as he dared, gratified as Aizawa's expression became 10 times grumpier. You're collecting intel, Aizawa griped, straining forward and pausing the video with one finger. Then shoved Toshinori with his shoulder, hard enough that he let go. The younger hero stepped back and glared at the still shot of his blurred, whippish body frozen in an arc, with one foot out and his capture weapon looped around an unsuspecting villain. These videos are illegal anyway, bootlegged. Why would a paragon of virtue like you be watching them and on these scummy boards? You're practically in the dark web. Maybe because I've learned that my tastes trend toward the illicit now that I'm spending time with you, Toshinori said with a chuckle, brimming with a warm smugness fairly alien to him, but still immensely enjoyable. Oh, fuck off, Aizawa grunted, jerkily stepping out of his sleeping bag and bundling it under his arm, clearly done with any attempts to nap and their rousing office banter. He turned to go, and Toshinori swiveled in his chair, and leaned forward after him, needing to say something, but not sure what it was until it spilled out of his mouth. Rushed. I really admire that you're training young Shinso. Aizawa stopped in the door, motionless, with his sleeping bag under his arm and his free hand worked into the dark tangle of his hair. "Who said I'm doing that?" he said oddly after a moment, then walked out and firmly closed the door behind him. In the quiet, Toshinori huffed and rubbed at his neck. Shota. The name came a little easier to him, even if it was just in the privacy of his mind. He was a man defined by his actions, purposeful above all, and never in the business of seeking validation from others. Perhaps it was a little jarring to be complimented so directly, or a little early to expect Aizawa to fully admit what was happening at all. Toshinori smiled to himself and the smeared freeze frame on the screen, swiveling easily from side to side, thinking. He would give it a few days, but there was nothing to do but try again, so that Aizawa knew just how incredible he was.